Welcome to Comics,
episode 230. This week, we talk about
Batman and Huntress, A Cry for Blood.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast.
You've been more hardcore than either David or I have.
You know, I'm not going to play for... Well, I don't know. I've never not had a max... I've never not had, like, 5 max level characters, right? So, well, fewer than that. But I don't think I'll raid again. I just... WoW is going in this direction that I really don't like. And part of it is probably because I was a hardcore raider in vanilla. The first thing I don't like is how it basically is doing all these things to make you log on all the fucking time, almost like a cell phone game would.
Yeah.
So, like, the garrisons
are Farmville. Yeah.
And then the boats, and I suspect they'll do it again next time.
I know. I was hoping so many cool things would happen with the garrison over the course of WoD, and then in the end, you just got a second table farther away
from
your boats.
So, the separation of raid content into different tiers, and I don't mean gear tiers, I mean, like, difficulty tiers.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's good to an extent, because I think that everybody should have the ability to experience content. Because, like, I'm not an asshole. But at the same time, I don't like how it's set up. If you want to raid Mythic now, you have to, like, do normal first. And then, I mean, you do that to get the gear. And then you have to grind through Heroic. And then you grind through Mythic. And it's, like, by the time you're actually to the point where you're hitting your head against the real wall, you've hit your head against other walls enough that you're just so fucking tired of it.
And,
like, I was fine going in and doing, like, 40 attempts on C'Thun, but I knew that once I killed that C'Thun, C'Thun was dead.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to, like, kill Heroic Blackhand and then, you know, grind up to him all over again on Mythic. It feels disheartening. So I don't like the new rating structure, basically.
And I'll say from the other end, from somebody who's a filthy fucking casual, LFR? Like, people say it's great because then you get to see the content, but you don't. I mean, I get to see the art assets. I get to see what the characters look like in-game. But there's the fights are tank and spank. They really, really are. And I know there's technically mechanics in there, but most of the people, usually when you LFR, half of them are insanely overgeared anyway. It's people who are Mythic raiding, who just really need some fucking trinket upgrade somewhere.
Like one or like a rune stone for the legendary.
Yeah, right. Some other stupid little thing that they need. And so they're there just through it, and I'm there, like, actually trying to see what the fuck is going on, and then the boss is dead. And, like,
yeah.
So then, but that's because they've made LFR easier. I feel like Cataclysm was the sweet spot for raiding. As much as people hated Cataclysm, for me,
well,
I could Kata LFR.
Was the- Best.
I could LFR for Kata, and you had to do the mechanics, and you had to get the LFR raid to listen and do a little bit. I mean, granted, it was still super fucking easy, but if you all stand on the wrong side of Deathwing's back, you all gonna die, and it doesn't matter whether or not it's LFR, you know?
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything like that.
I will say, like, LFR is so easy that it's kind of stupid.
It is.
From the flip side, doing the Heroic level content in Kata, that was, like, hands down the best expansion. But, God, so in the current expansion,
what?
The last dungeon tier, there was a train boss. He was, like, a conductor or some shit. LFR had one of the best WoW moments for me ever, in which I went in to get, like, farm runestones for my legendary ring or some shit. And we're on the train boss, and trains go in a set pattern. There's, like, even an add-on if you're too lazy to memorize it or think about it or care. Now, granted, not everyone needs to know this, especially if you're not attempting heroic or mythic. But I get in there, and we're on train boss, and me and one other guy move out of the way of the train, and 23 people go flying. Another train comes through, because it's one, it's like the one time both trains come in.
Yes.
And like 20 more go ricocheting around the room, and the best part was nobody died.
Yeah.
Not a single person. They're just like bouncing around. It was hilarious.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, I get the sentiment of everybody should get to see it, but that at that point, you know, you're not seeing it. You're flying around the room. If you really don't know what the fuck is going on, you still don't know what the fuck was going on. Like, you're not, you're not doing the fight at all. And at least, because I, my guild, Brannigan's Law, can never get 10 people together to raid every week. So even doing normal, we could do normal. We could probably do heroic if we could get 10 people for 2 hours at a time. But my guild's not big enough to do it. And frankly, that's not the point of my guild. The point of my guild is just to hang out and do dumb shit with other people. And raiding doesn't fall into that. But if there's five or six of us on in Kata, we would queue up for LFR. And it would be fun. Now we queue up for LFR and it's like, whatever, we might as well have done a dungeon. It would have been more difficult. It just, it's taken away an experience from my version of WoW to the point where, like, I don't even think I've done any raiding in Draenor. I honestly don't think I have.
You're not missing anything.
No, I killed a thundery dude, orc guy. No, it was the two-headed ogre with the thunder. That raid. I don't know. That's how much I care about it.
Yeah. No, I know how you feel.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited for Legion because some of the stuff looks cool. But honestly, I think I'm one of those people who's had a subscription who's never lapsed. And I think I'm going to just let it go. I'm going to go into Legion. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to level up two or three different characters, one on the Horde, one on the Alliance side, get the experience of leveling, enjoy the game a little bit. And then probably cancel my sub until the next expansion comes out.
That seems... I still have, like, peer pressure from guildies and my boyfriend to keep raiding. Like, my boyfriend is...
That's what you get for being
super
good.
He's super, super bummed out that I'm not raiding anymore. Because it was our thing for, like, 11 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, especially when you're as... Because I know how good you are at playing WoW.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay, compared to everyone else in my guild. You would come in and you would immediately be the best player in our guild, in our raid.
You know what happened? I will say I used to be good, and then I started hating the game. And I didn't research, I didn't do my homework, I never watched a video, and then I was the person dying all the time because I was busy alt-tabbing, looking at, like, food on the internet or something. So, I'm no longer fit to be a raider, either. I just don't have enough shits to give about it.
See, at this point, you sound exactly like most of the players in our guild. Now
it
you
takes
dedication. But
it's,
now you
it's
understand why we can't get together just a normal raid. Imagine a guild of 60 people. Who are all like that.
Yeah, it's not
going
to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Even if there are 60 people in our guild.
No, but even if we had 60 people and 10 of them were on at once, it's not going to happen.
I think we have 10 people, maybe.
Well, no, we have more than that. Because a lot of people from when Draenor came out, we had a lot of people who resubbed for the game and then joined our guild. And they tried raiding for a while, but I think it didn't go very well. Because some of them really wanted to go hardcore. And we're just not.
Yeah, I will say
that's
this.
Accurate.
When I was raiding hardcore, I put as much like effort, mental effort, and research effort into WoW as I did into my job. I take my job seriously.
Yeah,
like I try to be really good at my job.
Yeah, you're not like me. I took a 45-minute nap yesterday. on a bench.
You play WoW at your job.
That's true, I do.
So you take WoW more seriously, perhaps.
I probably do, actually. And I don't even play that much.
It's just so much effort when you're trying to do that, and when you're working, and, I don't know, you want to have a life that's not WoW.
Well, so I haven't played... I never canceled my subscription. I resubbed when Warlords came out. And I played for a while. I did the first raid with our guild. We did normal, and we started doing heroic. And then I kind of let it fall to the wayside. And Andy texted me the other day and was like, hey, David, jump on WoW. So I did.
God, my fucking modem.
And I got on my hunter, and I had no idea what to do. I played for about 10 minutes and then logged off. And I was like,
We wanted you to come on to play with us, but my modem was having a craptastic night. So we just had to finish up Argent Tournament and then call it a night.
Well, so here's the thing. I like WoW. I like the idea of WoW. I like the world. I like the stories. I like playing a hunter, but I don't care that much about... Well, here's the thing. I don't want to put in the work to be a good raider.
Yeah.
But even though I'm like not, I don't want to put the work in, LFR seems very easy to me.
Yeah, that's the exact conversation we were having before you added to the call. I was saying Cataclysm seemed like the best, because Cataclysm, at the very least, even LFR, I mean, the raid could wipe. Like, there were mechanics you had to pay attention to. Like, one boss with the different colored oozes that came in, like, you had to do the order right, LFR or not. And it just seems like in WoD, you don't have to. It's like everything is just tank and spank.
Yeah. Anyways, I think maybe more than just WoW, I feel like I have trouble getting into MMOs anymore. Because like when we came back from Star Wars Celebration, I started playing. I fired up
SWTOR.
SWTOR because we got like free stuff.
Yeah.
We got like cool mount and things. And I started to play my character, and there was like a 12 times experience boost for doing story missions. And I thought, okay, fine. I'll finally finish leveling my bounty hunter. And I just can't get into it. And I've been like, I think I'm just done playing MMOs. Maybe not forever, but I just can't get into them right now. And I've been playing this game called Rocket League.
Yeah, which we talked about last week on the show.
Oh my god, yeah. I love that game so much.
Yeah, I don't know.
But what's different about it, it's like Rocket League, I'm not like trying to compare it, saying that it's better than WoW or SWTOR.
It's a totally different classic game.
But what I like about the game is I can jump on, play a 5-minute game, and if that's all the game I wanted to play, that's it. It's okay. I can just sign off, and that's okay.
Yeah,
but there's no way I can play an MMO for only 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's tough.
I don't know. WoW's Legion expansion came out, and the trailer was just like everything that came up in big letters in the trailer basically said more of the same, more of the same, like more dungeons, a new continent, more raids. All right, neat.
Well, that's cool because WoW doesn't have the 12 million subscribers that they used to.
Oh, they still have like 6 or 7. They're still bonkers. But the thing,
and that's cool. You know, there are people who still want to play, and that's totally fine. There's not a thing wrong with WoW. Not a thing.
For me, SWTOR is where it's at now because the 12 times experience basically makes it a one player game for me. And when I get a player through their story missions, I just log off and play another one. And I found that some of them I really like the Bounty Hunter I've really enjoyed, the Trooper I really like, and some of them are really fucking lame, like the Jedi Knight.
Well, see, that's what I did last couple times I played SWTOR. I started playing my Bounty Hunter, logged off, and jumped on my Sith Assassin because I like that storyline a lot.
That storyline's awesome. I love that one.
And I don't even bother with the non-storyline quests. I don't even do them at all.
And what I have to say is I like the direction that BioWare is choosing to go with SWTOR. Their community hates it. If you listen to SWTOR podcasts, they're like, this is dumb, this is stupid. They don't know about it, a lot of things. Because their expansion comes out in 2 months now, I want to say. And none of the devs and nowhere have they mentioned a raid or a dungeon. All they've talked about is story changes and the way they're going to change the quest system. And it's like, I get that people play MMOs for the MMO experience and all that kind of thing, but I don't know. This is, to me, this just sounds like BioWare getting back to BioWare. And honestly, without the 12x experience bonus, without it being about the story, I didn't like SWTOR that much. It was just like too much. Like, the planets are too big. There's too much voiceover. But man, everything I'm hearing about their expansion sounds awesome. I'm excited for it. I'm going to get next level everything.
I agree with you in that regard. I'm more excited to play SWTOR because I can just play a Star Wars story.
Yeah. Oh wait, so you guys got your Gunpla this week, right?
Yes.
Yes. I did.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say, David, I'm really happy that you bought the base for yours, because I was like really waffling on whether that would be allowed to do like a base and stuff, but I'm going to go for it.
I didn't know if it was allowed or not. I was like, I really like Gundam Build Fighters and I really want a GP base, so I'm going to fucking buy this thing. Have you watched Build Fighters? Have I talked to you about how much I love Build Fighters?
You told us. I watched an episode, like a random episode of Tri Fighters, which...
That's the second series.
Yeah, the second one, because the Gundam I'm working on right now is from it. And oh my god, that kid's a dick. The one who pilots or controls the Gundam I chose.
Oh, which one did you get? The Burning?
I'm putting together Denial Gundam right now, yeah. But I also got Build Burning.
I almost picked that as my mobile suit for the contest. But I've decided to go with a Zaku because I wanted one where if the mobile suit was mostly one color in the show, I could paint it mostly one color if I wanted to do like a
custom thing,
a custom paint color. So okay. Yeah. Nice. But originally, I don't know how far you are into Build Fighters Tri, but there's a Gundam called Gundam Trion 3, and that's the one I was gonna buy originally, but they didn't have it at Tatsu Hobby, so I picked something else. And that one, it's basically like a Megazord. It's three different, it's like a lion, a bird, and I guess it's like a stingray or something, and they combine into one Gundam. And when it appears in the show, people are like, why does it combine like that? But then it like kicks ass. It's like really strong. But yeah, that's like my little tangent about Gundam.
Oh my god. So we're doing more than one round, right?
Of Gunpla building?
Yeah.
Sure, what the hell?
I have like six kits to build, so if you want to do more than one, that's okay.
I really want to buy a Master Grade and get something
We need to
awesome.
Hold off Master Grade until December, and it's because this guy's coming out.
It's I have no problem Ultron. Holding off until December because...
Oh, I saw that. I saw that they were doing Ultron Gundam.
Dibs.
Oh, you know, dibs. Oh, that guy I did is a, fucking sick.
I did a high grade of him, he's from Gundam Wing. Well, specifically, he's from Endless Waltz, which is the movie, mm-hmm. the Gundam Wing. Have you watched that, Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was one of the first animes I ever watched, so it has a very fond place in my heart.
You know what else will come out in time for December, if we do December?
Mm.
Pacific Rim Gunpla kits.
Oh, yeah.
So, that one would be mine.
Speaking of Pacific Rim, I think I sent you the link today, Andy. Guillermo del Toro said in an interview that he would love for Pacific Rim 3 if it had Godzilla in it. If he could get Godzilla to be in
it. I approve.
I entirely agree. And they're both, I think the thing you sent me said they're both owned by Legends. So.
Yeah, Legendary Films made both movies. So.
Fuck yeah. I'd be down for that shit.
Why not?
Yeah. All right, we're going to do a Master Grade one in December then.
Yes!
My
I'm so
wife
excited.
Is gonna hate you guys.
Oh, come on. They're only like 40 bucks.
I'm gonna be in a position where I'm supposed to be taking care of the newborn baby, but instead, I'm gonna be building that Gundam.
You're gonna have a lot of downtime.
Yeah, that's true. That baby's gonna sleep a lot.
Yeah, just teach your baby how to airbrush. You'll be good.
Yeah.
I've never done a master grade, so I'm pretty excited to do one.
They're bigger, right?
Yeah, they're one. Mm-hmm. They're a 1/100th scale.
Okay. How tall is that? Like 10 inches?
I don't know.
I think someone said about 16 centimeters.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either. Them's foreign counting.
Foreign counting.
Ooh, they have crossbones. Oh, they have a master grade of one of the cool ones from Build Fighters Try. Is this the banter for the show? Or
Yeah. It's totally. My master grade is going to be a shiny motherfucker. Some shiny, chromed out gold fucking thing. I can't wait.
I'm pretty sure I'll do this one. XMX1 Crossbones Gundam Full Cloth. Whatever that means.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Rad.
I'm going to get some motherfucker with a metallic finish. Make it shiny as shit.
Man. I'm so excited for the Ultron. I kind of want to do a Tall Geese 3, too.
I have a Tall Geese 3 high-grade kit.
I saw that. You should let me know how that goes once you build it.
Well, I'm kind of holding off. I'm kind of scared to do that one because it is... So, with high-grade, sometimes the plastic doesn't match the colors of the actual kit.
Yeah, mine.
And on this one, so Tall Geese 3 has some blue in him, on his, but the plastic is all white.
Yeah, I bought a master grade, or no, I bought a high grade Banshee Norn, and it doesn't match what it's supposed to.
I have no idea. I've already primed mine. I'll be hand painting it.
Baller! Fucking professional over here.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Jen's gonna win.
Yeah,
no.
Jen is going to win.
I have experience doing a fair amount of War Machine stuff, because I helped Grant paint his army, but this is new and frightening.
You're better off than me. It's okay. Well, hey, you guys want to talk about this week's comic?
Yes. Yeah, we probably should talk about comics on our podcast.
Probably. You know, no matter how excited we are for Gunpla.
I bet a bunch of people,
already turned it off.
Listening.
Well, hey, yeah. We have a Gunpla series coming out. We'll just save the Gunpla for when we do our Gundam series.
This week's comic.
This week, we read Batman and Huntress, A Cry for Blood. It's a 6-issue miniseries from the year 2000 by Greg Rucka with art from Rick Burchett and Terry Beatty.
Correct. You know, I feel like this comic should have just been called Huntress, Cry for Blood, because Batman's in it, twice.
Yeah, why is he in the title?
I don't know. This is,
Or this should be called Huntress and the Question, Cry for Blood.
Yeah, there's a thing, it was an article I read so long ago, I think it's the Tumblog, was it DC Women Kick Ass or something like that? And she has this whole thing about, why does DC feel the need to put male characters in the same, trade title as the female characters? Like, it's always Batman and Huntress, or Batman and this, or Superman and Wonder Woman. Like, can't you just have it be Huntress, or have it be Wonder Woman, or have it be Batgirl, or... I think one of the prime examples is Superman, Batman, Apocalypse. Which is it was a straight-to-DVD cartoon movie that DC does really well. It was one where a Supergirl is voiced by Summer Glau.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty good. I like that one.
And the movie is about Supergirl. But Supergirl's not on the box. It's Batman and Superman.
Oh, that's the one where she goes to Apocalypse and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's come on, why not just say Supergirl, Apocalypse? I don't know. I feel like this is one of those things where they put Batman on the cover because they thought it would sell more copies if you put Batman on the cover. And they're probably right a little bit. This is after No Man's Land, and No Man's Land was really popular. And Batman, I think, was more forward in the zeitgeist of the comic book buyer, I think.
Well, having read...
No Man's Land?
No Man's Land, it's... Man... That would have been a slog to get through, because it went on for more than a year.
Yeah.
In real time. But, it was, overall, it's pretty good. And Huntress was pretty significant in No Man's Land.
Yeah, she is. I remember reading No Man's Land when I was younger. Anyway, this comic. Yes, this comic. I gotta say up front, I don't know if it's just because after the last couple weeks, I really love this art. This, to me, feels like classic comic book art in a way that, you know, like, Jim Lee feels like classic comic book art, but Jim Lee feels like classic new comic book art, if that makes any kind of sense. Like, it's the prototypical comic book art. I feel like this style of comic book art, this is like a timeless style of comic book art. These lines are beautiful, the coloring is flat and consistent, and it's just, I don't know. I wanted to put it right up front that I love the art in this. I loved it from page one, and I loved it all the way till the end.
Yeah, it was gorgeous, and I think I say this, like, all the freaking time, but it was very noir and fit the Batman setting. But, no, and I know what you mean, and I think it's that we see a lot of Silver Age art, but this, I think, harkens back to the Golden Age stuff from, like, the 40s, and it feels, I don't know, like, more seminal.
Yeah. And there's scenes in this that just, it's so weird, the stuff that sticks out in my mind after reading this, the scenes, like, one of them is when she's like, oh yeah, sensei, it's fine, I know yoga, I know what you're doing, and she, like, gets there right away, and it's this big two-page thing, and he, like, takes all of the panels on both pages to do the motion, and then he ends up in the same pose she did, but it was way the fuck later. And I don't know, just the pacing of it. I don't know how this artist made a hairy chested man look awesome to me. I don't know. I thought those two pages were beautiful and perfect. And then at the end, when he finally strikes the pose, she's tired from holding it and she's sitting. it felt so perfect. So there. Also, yep. Also, when she was a little girl holding the crossbow, it was adorable and terrifying.
That was a good cover. I think that was cover. I think that was number four.
Yeah, the cover, and then inside when she's like, "I know what weapon I'm grabbing off that wall. It's this motherfucking crossbow."
That was a good scene.
Yeah, like, it was.
Where she just immediately gravitates toward it.
And that was a really good scene with the cousin too, because the cousin's like, "Look, I know what you're going through, and we can help you, but you gotta make this decision. You gotta choose this." I mean, he made it a real easy choice for her, but he still at least laid it out for her.
So yeah, this is kind of a, you know, like you said, Andy, it's post, No Man's Land, and we get some, cameos from the different members of the Bat family. And they were all kind of, well, not all of them, but all the older generation were kind of jerks.
Yeah, they were dicks.
Yeah.
Even Dick was a dick. Barbara was a dick. Especially
Barbara
Batman.
Barbara was the worst. No, not Batman. Barbara was totally the worst.
That was not Barbara Gordon. That was Dana Scully.
Oh my God. This was written in 2000, right? This was
really?
Yeah, this was written in 2000.
No way.
Those glasses. She must have kept those. Those must have been her dad's old glasses.
She kept that shit from 20 years ago.
So, in like 1990, my mom had that haircut and those glasses.
Oh, your mom is Oracle!
That would be so awesome, but very unlikely. But no, like, every time I looked at that, I was just like, X-Files. I could not get it out of my head. That was like my one art complaint, that the character design for Barbara Gordon was a bit too much like Dana Scully.
That's something I would like to read, like a paranormal investigation show starring Barbara Gordon and Tim Drake.
Ooh, that would be, yes.
Yeah. This is, and by the way, in case anybody listening is wondering why everybody thinks Tim Drake is the best Robin, this comic will tell you why Tim Drake is the best Robin. Because Tim Drake is a bro. To, like, everyone. I mean, Batman's a dick because Batman's a dick. And then Dick, like Dick Grayson is Batman, but with a nice veneer over him. You know, just like Helena was saying, Batman just breaks the fuck in, you know, and Dick is coming to do the exact same thing that Batman came to do, but at least he has the decency to knock. But at the end, it's all just a false veneer. He's there to do the same thing Batman did. He's there to go in and be like, so, you didn't kill anybody, right? Yeah, we cool? Okay. Yeah, I trust you. It's fine. It's cool. And then I'm just going to go over to the other roof and watch you. Like, no, you don't trust her. You don't believe that she didn't kill anybody. Fuck you, Dick. But Tim's like, this doesn't make sense. I know she kills people, but this doesn't make sense.
So, just for clarification, she and Dick Grayson had a relationship at this point, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how Dick gets people into the Bat family. Because he had a relationship with Barbara Gordon, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Although Barbara got there on her own.
I mean, I can at least see some of the animosity in that case. Like, if they're Splitsville, you know? Like, yeah. They're not going to be super friendly toward each other.
Yeah, it's a thing for them throughout their relationship between Helena, Dick, and Barbara. The three of them kind of always have a weird interaction. And not always saying that, like, Barbara is always and forever weird to Helena, but if it's not weird, then it's that, like, overly reconciled kind of thing where it's like, yeah, we cool, let's go get a margarita together kind of thing. It's like, you're trying too hard to be cool.
Well, the problem... So, this is a little bit off topic, but the problem I have with Barbara and Dick's relationship is, like, you know, Dick tries to, you know, after the whole killing joke thing, Dick tries to continue their relationship and Barbara doesn't want him to.
Yeah.
But that's not the problem. My problem is that Barbara pushes him away. He tries to continue to have a relationship with her. She keeps pushing. He says, okay, I'm going to move on and have a different relationship. And then she gets mad at him for having a different relationship.
Yeah.
She sends mixed signals is what my problem is. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I think Helen
is like, we can't have a relationship, but you can't have a relationship.
And I think that's why Helena has always and forever been completely unapologetic about it.
Helena Which makes just, sense.
Yeah, and it's totally in her character, too. Her character was like, it was a green light. All around was a green light. And I was feeling frisky, and he was there, and we did it. Cool. Like, I don't see what the problem is here. If there's a problem, it's with you. You get over it. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. That's a very Helena way to go about things.
So I will say that some of it is certainly on Huntress, because her whole deal, right, is I have to do this alone, it can only be me, I can't accept help, it's the Sicilian way. So, if you're part of the Bat family, like, but you're also part of your Sicilian family, and you view those things as mutually exclusive, and you're forcing yourself to pick one, your Bat family friends are going to, like, notice this, and maybe not react well, because my guess is that when Dick Grayson came by, yeah, he was checking up on her the same way Batman did, but maybe there was less malice in it than Bruce held. It just seems that her whole, like, I have to do this alone thing. But I guess to counter that, she did run off with the question.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Speaking of the question, he's the best character in this comic.
Vic Sage!
I feel like he should just be in all comics.
Yeah.
He really should be.
He's great. Seriously. He's like, I didn't really know much about him initially. I didn't know much about him until I saw Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah. Him and Helen are great in that.
That was like, and you know, I thought their relationship in the cartoon kind of, was it, like, what am I trying to say?
Was it based in anything?
Inspired by this.
Hmm.
I don't know
if it was from this.
But, I mean, this seems to be their first meeting, because they don't seem to know each other much at all at the beginning of this comic.
Yeah, I think Helenan knows enough to be annoyed at him.
Yeah. But, but so he's really good in this. He was really great in that cartoon. He was awesome in 52.
His solo run was really good, too. Zen and something. Ah, oh, what the fuck? We should read that trade. We should do a question series. You know what we should do? We should do a series of lesser-known Metropolis heroes. Question, Guardian, Musical.
Guardian.
Guardian! The worst.
Have you watched Young Justice? This is a little bit of a tangent.
No, it's on my list.
Guardian is in Young Justice a little bit, and he's kind of a badass there.
Oh.
Strangely, he reminds me of U.S. Agent from Marvel.
Okay.
And U.S. Agent is like the guy who kind of replaced Captain America for a while when Captain America was Nomad.
Yeah.
The Guardian's attitude in Young Justice reminds me a lot of U.S. Agent. But you guys have probably seen it. There's the screenwriter Max Landis has a video on his YouTube channel where he talks about the death and return of Superman and the impact it had on on comics.
On comics, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guardian is in it. And in Max Landis's video, all his friends dress up as like the characters. And so the guy who's, but they're not like real. Like
no, they're shitty. They're shitty, like cardboard.
Yeah, so Guardian is like a guy wearing like a Domino mask and wearing a yellow hockey helmet and has a cardboard shield. And it's just like that in my mind, whenever somebody mentions Guardian, I see Guardian from the video shrugging and then disappearing. Because I think in the comic or in the video, he says something like the Guardian. Like, nobody cares. He just disappears fighting Doomsday. So I don't know anything about the Guardian other than what his appearance in Young Justice and in that video from Max Landis. Right. That was a big old tangent.
Added to the arc. Ah, fuck it. I don't care.
No, that was awesome. That was a good tangent.
But you never know, because when those lesser-known characters come up, sometimes they're really endearing, like the Question in this.
Well, I feel like the Question... You know, I don't really know what his history in comics overall is, but what I like about him is he reminds me of like Golden Age mystery guys like the Shadow. Shadow is one of my favorite characters.
The Shadow, the Spirit is the same kind of
thing. I don't really know much about the Spirit. But I really like the Shadow, you know, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men. The Shadow knows. Because when I was a kid, I used to listen to, like, books on tape as I was going to bed. And my mom bought me a set of the Shadow's, like, radio shows. And I don't know, I really like that. I really like the kind of crappy Alec Baldwin Shadow movie.
Well, I like the really crappy Spirit movie, which is really, really crappy.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
But I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I'll give you that. I don't know where I'm going with this tangent, guys. So
is that characters in trench coats are kind of cool.
Yes. Like the Crimson Avenger.
Yes!
He's really cool, too. He's another guy from DC who's like, he wears a colored trench coat and a fedora, I guess. Is it a fedora?
I don't know. I think it's a fedora. I think Question wears a fedora. I don't know. I don't know the differences between, like, fedoras, trilbies, whatever. It's a hat.
I think it's a fedora. Trilbies are the
really short-brimmed ones.
Milady.
Yeah.
Neckbeard hat.
I think it's a fedora. It's floppy, so that's fedora-like.
Yeah. So, Huntress.
But anyways, I really like the Question. Huntress.
Well, the Question was in Huntress. That happened.
Okay, but this is supposed to be serious about the Gotham City Sirens, the women of Gotham. So what did you guys think about Huntress? What was your exposure to Huntress before this?
Justice League Unlimited, pretty much. And No Man's Land. But in No Man's Land, she was dressed as Batgirl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Mm.
So does that count? I don't know.
Sure. Sure.
Why not?
What about you, Jen?
Birds of Prey?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. She's good in that.
That is the thing that I read.
It's the thing I think we read for the show. I remember when I was a kid, there was a comic out with Huntress. I think it might have been a Huntress solo title. And me being the 12-year-old kid I was, I picked it up because it was the one... It was when she had that uniform with the cutout of, like, the midriff for no good reason.
And where was the... Wait, is it where the... Maybe I'm imagining it, but for some reason I think she has, like... I'm remembering a costume where the cutout part is shaped like a cross. Am I imagining
that? Not that one, but that one that did happen. The cutout was, like, it went from, like, inner under boob down to, like, just over the pubic bone, and it was, like, a square cutout for no good reason, just like a... punch me here kind of a cutout. Mm-hmm. But 12-year-old me saw that on the cover and wanted to pick it up. And there was a scene, this is the only scene of the entire comic I remember, where she's interrogating somebody and she's lift him up with a finger in each nostril. And she's saying, basically, if you don't give me the information, I'm going to make a fist and break your nose. And just, like, rip the flesh.
Yeah,
I know,
it's
right?
It's fucked up.
It's super fucked up. So that was my first, like, exposure to her. So then we get to this, and people are, like, accusing her of killing a dude, and I'm like, yep, that could happen. She totally would. that'll happen, yeah. Okay. But I also, I appreciate that interaction that Batman has with her right up front, because Batman also has no question in his mind that she's capable of this. No question. Which immediately, I mean, she's kind of part of the Bat family, but that distinction sets her wholly apart from all of them. Nobody else in the Bat family is willing to just kill a motherfucker. Maybe Cassandra. But Helena's the only one who's like, yeah, you're a bad dude. You're a bad mafia dude. I will fucking shoot you in the face with a crossbow. And well, it'll be fine. I mean, and I'll sleep like a baby.
She wants revenge like Batman does, but she wants real revenge, not vengeance. I feel like Batman needs vengeance.
She doesn't. She wants no but a justice.
Yeah,
she wants blood.
For blood.
Blood cries for blood.
Oh yeah, that's what it is. Blood cries for blood.
Yeah.
And I also remember Huntress from the TV show Arrow. She's in there.
Yeah, she is. And same kind of characterization. Kill a bitch.
She's out to, like, kill people.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, that's... Do your thing, right?
Yeah. And then Arrow's like, you gotta stop killing people. And she's like, fuck you.
And it's kind of funny coming from Ollie because he, like, just got finished murdering a bunch of people.
Yeah, he, like, the week before that was like, you know, I think I'm not gonna kill anybody else. And then, like, within 3 days, you need to stop killing people. What?
Oh, he's an asshole.
It all happened while Huntress was around him, so she was like, just last week you were fucking killing people with me, you asshole. What are you doing?
It's because Felicity.
Yeah, well, I would stop killing people for her, too.
So,
yep.
Huntress, like, goes to the woods with the Zen lumberjack guru and, like...
Yeah.
Finds her zen, but did she, like, what do you think? Do you think she found her inner peace setting up her uncle?
I think she did for a while, and then her uncle put her in that situation, and she was just like, yeah, fuck all that. I'm killing this guy. and that's why the question says, damn you. Like, the question is super disappointed. Like, I went through all of this fucking work to try and help you and save you. And instead of doing this the, air quotes, right way, she insisted on staying the Huntress that she was at the beginning. Just, she couldn't find a way out that didn't involve killing a dude.
Yeah, and it seems like the loophole was she didn't kill him.
Yeah.
But...
That was a loophole in her head.
It was a direct result.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only assume that she directly said to her one uncle, you know, kill this other guy, right? Like, yeah. There's no other thing she could have said there.
Yeah.
So
wait,
yeah.
What was the family there? The guy she asked the favor from was her uncle.
Right.
His mm-hmm. sister or brother was the father or mother?
Sister was mother.
Sister was mother. Okay. And then her father, biological father, had slept with her and killed her. And he, the uncle, knew that, I think, or had an inkling and was willing to kill him because of it?
Seems to be the case.
Okay. Because they're... In, like, issue 1 or 2, where Helena's, like, giving you the lowdown on all of the families and who everybody is and how they're in there, I'm like, I'm not going to remember this. I'm just going to turn the page. And then in the end, when it mattered, I was like, ah, fuck. Should have been paying more attention.
That actually was, like, a criticism of the writing for me, because there were too many names. There were, like, 5 or 6 names given all at once, and that's last names. And then we get, like, individual family members first and last. And then you're like, okay, just general setting. But no, it was actually really important to know who these people were. Because it was the origin of the blood feud. And that was really confusing for me at the end. Because I was like, who are these people?
And looking at the pages, I mean, the artist really tried hard to differentiate the way these people looked. But at the end of the day... They're all middle or older white dudes. And it's like, you can only do so much.
Yep.
So, do we like Huntress as a person? Would you want to be her friend?
No. I mean, I like her. She's like a role model, but...
She's a terrible role model.
She kills motherfuckers. Jen? What the
but
fuck?
But see, that's why I don't want to be your friend.
I would really like if she was my high school teacher.
Yeah, see, that's a role model.
Liked her.
Yeah, the like little boys in the high school were like, oh, you steal my heart. They like had like the hands over their heart kind of a thing going on. I was like, yeah. I'm there with you. All of my high school teachers were ugly.
Song, the Van Halen song.
Yeah. Hoffer teacher. Yeah.
That's what the song's about. It's about Helena Bernelli.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's some stuff about her character that I really, really like. I like that she's a teacher. It's a realistic day job. And then when she gets fucked up, and it's also why she doesn't have a ton of gadgets. She has, like a wire that she uses to get around, and she doesn't have, like, a gun for it. She doesn't have, like, grappling guns. She just, if you ever watch her, she's, like, up on the roof, and she just, like, takes it out of her belt and just, like, lays it out and then goes down it. She doesn't ever shoot it. So it's just, like, her... With these, like, cheap, shitty tools doing the same things that the Bat family does, but they obviously don't give her any of that Wayne money. They're like, no, you're a teacher. You're fine.
You got a job.
You're not like Dick.
He's a circus person.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
He's a police officer when he's Nightwing.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Oh, at that point he is?
That's bullshit. He makes more than she does.
He's a cop in Bloodhaven. Is that that place called Bloodhaven?
Yeah, Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
Bloodhaven. Sounds like a metal song.
And then, who else is there? Yeah, I don't know. But I also like, I have to say, that I legitimately like the fact that her Catholicism is very forward in her character. Because it's not something you see in comics. The idea of religion and belief. And it's presented... A lot of times in Helena's character, only very, very, like, lightly is it shown here, but in a lot of instances, she's, like, super religious.
In No Man's Land, she, like, protects a church.
Yeah.
That's part of her beat that, like, you know, in ruined Gotham City, she helps the church.
Which, like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it opens up storytelling to be like, okay. Basically, Helena, You've talked to a man who's more or less a god on more than one occasion. I want to know how you're doing with your faith, girl. You know? Like, it opens up interesting story possibilities, and I don't think religion is something that authors should shy away from just because it's a touchy subject.
I think if they do in like, see, the thing is, I feel like religion is a touchy subject because there's all these extremist type people in the news.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fox News.
Fox News, yeah. Specifically. But there's so many people who are religious but are like normal people. There are some comics where it's handled really well, like Ms. Marvel. Kamala Khan is a normal person with normal teenage issues, and she also happens to be Muslim. And it's like handled really well, you know?
Yeah. And I think there needs to be more of that.
I mean, as far as I know, I'm not Muslim, but it's not like
It doesn't feel stereotypical.
It's part of the setting, you know? There's this girl and she's Muslim and yep, that's that.
I mean, I have to believe that it's a realistic portrayal because the author is also Muslim.
Yes. Speaking of which, she won a Nebula Award.
Hell yeah. There's a ton of controversy around that, but I think it's awesome.
I don't understand. Well, there's a whole controversy about, it's those, what are they? I was reading an article.
The Hugos and the Puppies.
The Puppies, yeah. Not Nebula Award, Hugos.
Yeah,
Hugo Awards, right?
Because the majority of science fiction fans, especially people who are part of the Hugo, who think that the Hugo Award really, really, like, matters, and who are into it, are old white men with gray hair. And they think that science fiction is, like, science fiction about other, like, they believe that science fiction is, fucking Mars. What the hell is the name of that one? Oh, God. Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Mars?
No.
No.
John Carter of Mars?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They think that's what all science fiction should be, is like that kind of stuff. And like Ringworld and maybe Cyberpunk.
Hey, Ringworld's good.
Maybe Cyberpunk. Yeah, Ringworld's good.
Ringworld is a thing.
Ringworld has great ideas, but is also kind of sexist.
Well, Ringworld was written, like, a long time ago.
Right, and that's the thing, is you and I and Jen can sit here and realize that that makes the book a victim of its time, and you need to gloss over it and ignore it, and hope it doesn't happen when somebody writes a book today. But people who, the people who are causing a stink, say that Ms. Marvel's only winning because it's about a minority character, and that it's pandering to a minority audience. And that it should be given to the best book, not necessarily the one that panders the best. And they believe that they're, like, they put out these lists of what the real Hugo winners are, and they're all books about white men.
So, I know we're still...
White men with ray guns that aren't really... Yeah. Sorry, tangent number 5 of the night.
Just, like, a brief thing in that... about this time. It was the Nebulas, right, where people, like, formed a voting block to vote in more female authors and books featuring female characters, and then there was, like, a big poop about that, too.
Yeah, okay. That was a thing, too.
I don't know.
They were both things, like, and they were both fucking stupid. What was your guys' favorite moments of this comic? I'm just gonna take a hard left.
Yeah, I mean, you needed to do that, because we were getting deep into
something. We could do this for another half an hour.
But what's my favorite moment from the comic? You know, maybe this is, like, too easy of an answer, but I really enjoyed the parts with the question, because I think he kind of helped Helena try, like, kind of come back to reality to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think she needed, because otherwise she's going to go murder. Well, she was going to walk into... I mean, she did walk into a trap, essentially, but she figured out what the trap was. Partially in thanks to Vic, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I liked him because I feel like he kind of is what Batman does to a certain degree. I mean, but he says, you know, I'm not as good as being a detective as Batman. But I feel like he's a good middle ground between between characters like Batman and the Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really like Vic Sage is what I'm trying to say.
All right. I think my favorite was the scene with Helena and Sensei, and they're doing their yoga. I don't know. It was beautiful. That hairy-chested buff dude with his beard. I don't know. I don't know what about those two pages sucked me in, but I think it was just a great representation of what the fuck was wrong with Helena. And she did learn to slow down, and she did learn to look at the situation, and she did learn to find an alternate answer in the end, because question was right. If she'd just gone in herself with her crossbow, she would have gotten her damn self killed, so she found an alternate solution, and it's not one that anybody liked. But she did it. And so she made her transition to the butterfly the way that Sensei wanted her to, but not with the result that everybody wanted her to have. Like, I don't know. I like that that's shown, and then you get there, and then everybody's still pissed at her, but what they chose to do was right. She just had to do it her way, which is the way nobody liked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yen?
Man, I feel lame now with my favorite scene, and it's the last one of chapter 2, where she comes up out of Gotham River, and Vic Sage is there to grab her wrist, and she's like, I'm not leaving while I can still fight. And he just says, have it your way, and kicks her in the face.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, there goes my quote.
Whoops.
It's okay. I'll find another one. I'll find another one while you guys rate it. How about that? We're running kind of long. We did a lot of tangents, but you know.
Yeah.
How about you go first, David?
All right. So, rate it. I think I'm going to give this one a 3.5. I liked it about as much as I liked Harley. So I feel like they should get the same score. It was a good comic. I really enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect. I think maybe part of the reason why I liked it too is because I had read No Man's Land, so I kind of got, I understood the place where this comic was coming from. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think, it was cool because, you know, it kind of, we got all of Huntress's story, and we got to see her grow to a certain degree, but then also there was a good twist at the end. One of the reasons why I'm going to downvote this using the Reddit terminology is that it had Batman in the title, and Batman wasn't really in it, and so Batman's name must have been there just to sell comics, you know, to help sell the comic. And I think that's, I can understand where DC would, why they would think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree that it's a good idea, but you know, I guess I can see where they're coming from. But I think if they wanted to put another character in the title, maybe call it Huntressing of the Question. The Question's kind of a small-time hero, but anyways, I think that kind of hurt the score a little bit for me, but it is what it is, I guess. So yeah, 3.5.
All right, Jen.
Yeah, also 3.5, and for a lot of the same reasons. I mean, I was walking into this expecting a lot more Batman, and I'm not disappointed that he wasn't there because I thought this was a really solid story, and I love the Question. Vic Sage, and then later, what's her name?
Renee Montoya.
Like, I love the Question, as both of those characters. So it was really fun to see Vic Sage kind of pester one of DC's more, like, I guess, irritable characters. Because, you know, she does not put up with shit. And I don't say she's irritable in, like, a mean way, but Huntress, she doesn't have time for that. So
she doesn't put up with Batman shit.
I love that, you know, that's a good, I really like that you said that, because I agree. I like one of the reasons why I like the Question is because he's good at pestering people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good at pestering Batman, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like Batman needs somebody to pester him every once in a while. So, yes, go Question.
Yes.
But, and yeah, Batman said something about, like, finding the answers, and he's like, you know, he said something all mysterious about the Question is what really matters or something like that.
Yeah, he's I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. He's all snark.
Yeah.
He adds the proper amount of levity to this comic. It would have been really dark without him. And I think we would have felt a lot less growth from Huntress without him.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a driving force. So I do think he deserved to be a title character. You know, knock Batman off that. But, yeah, I thought this was pretty solid. I would recommend it to friends. 3.5. Yes.
I'm up next. I don't know what I'm going to do here. You know, I was going to give this a 3.5 as well. And then as I was scrolling through, trying to find a new quote frantically, you know, like you do, I realized I still really like the art. Like, I was just scrolling through, and I was like, oh my god, this page where her parents and her family are dead, and there's flowers everywhere, and it's just her in this, like, this shroud, and it just, it was that full page is beautiful. Like, just scrolling through, I would land on pages that, I don't know, I just, there's something about this art this I really, really love, so I'm going to give it a 4, actually. Because on top of that, maybe it's because I wasn't paying attention at all, but I also didn't see this ending coming.
Like, I didn't see it coming either.
I didn't see it coming.
Well, I mean, when she got to the wedding and doing asking the favor and stuff, I kind of figured that's where it was going.
Yeah, she's asking for somebody to get murdered.
Yeah,
but
murder.
And then the resolution with her and Question, and Question's like, I tried to help you. You fucking, I tried to help, and here you off and do this shit anyway. Yeah. So I'm gonna give it a 4. I really am. 4.
You really gonna give it a 4?
Yeah, I already did. Ready to play quotes?
Quotes.
Alright.
Yep.
Are you ready to play quotes?
Yes. Yes, I am. Quotes this week and every week are brought to you by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics today and become a patron. Help support the show. And with your money, we can do other fun, cool things. And depending on what level you choose, you can get some cool stuff from us. We will send you something out of our comic book bin, I think, if you sign up for $5 a month is all you have to do, and we'll send you a comic. We'll even deface it with our signatures and everything. It'll be fun stuff. But aside from that, you can give us recommendations for what to read next. You can tell us if you want us to do trivia, fight night, or quotes, or what kind of game you want us to play at the end of the shows. But right now, we're doing quotes. And I'm going to have David go first. David's going to ask Jen.
All right. I got to clear my throat here, make sure I can convey the tone to you. Your quote is, "You hurt him."
Oh.
You want me to repeat that?
Yes, I want you to repeat that, please.
"You hurt him."
Oh, you know, I know what this is about, but I feel like I'm going to mess it up because that's how I do. That would be Dick Grayson talking to Huntress after she puts a crossbow bolt in Batman's chest.
You got it.
Yay!
Hey, 3 fucking points. Oh, yeah. That brings you up to 7.
Woo!
All right. Jen, lay it on me.
Okay. Thanks for nothing.
Oh, God. That was, yeah, this comic, everybody has totally, like, normal speech. Thanks for nothing? Oh, Christ, this could be anybody. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing. I think it's Helena saying it to Dick when Dick comes in to quote-unquote help her, basically saying, hey, I'm gonna spy on you if that's cool. like in issue one or two, I think it is, when Dick like knocks on the glass and then comes in, and then she's like, "Thanks for nothing. Get the fuck out." Final answer.
Oh, that is so close.
No!
She does say it to Dick, but it's when he comes back and tells her that her uncle guy is actually
when they did, he was like, oh yeah, when he said, it's true, we did the DNA test and everything. Like, yeah, okay, yeah. Alright, well, identify the speaker, I get 1 point. Alright, David, you ready to get 3 more points?
I have a feeling my streak is going to end here because I read this like 3 days ago, so I probably forgot everything about
it. No. This is one of my favorite lines, and I'm sure it was one of yours too, so I'm certain you're going to get it.
Oh, man. Now, see, now you've put a lot of pressure on me.
Excuse me. You wouldn't know where I could get a trim and a shave.
Okay. That's a question. He is saying it's to like a henchman. What is the context? Oh, man. I know he says it to a hen. I'm pretty sure he's saying it to, like, a henchman that he's sneaking up on. But where? Where is it? Come on. Come on, David.
You can do this. Keep the streak alive.
You got this.
I don't know why we're rooting for you.
Dang. Oh, man. Oh, man. I don't know. He's sneaking around with the Huntress. It's it's during their team up. God, I don't know. Oh, it's the PI when he sneaks up on him because he's spying on Huntress's apartment. Boom.
Boom indeed. 3 fucking points.
I got to talk myself to it. I had to talk myself through it.
It's okay. That's what you got to do sometimes.
Okay.
Whew. All right. David, it's still at a flawless 15.
That was tough.
Jen up to a 7, and I'm sitting at a 9. Next week is the last week of trivia. Next week we're going to read Black Canarian's Tana Blood Spell. And I don't know, because at this point, going with our normal point scheme of 1 for guessing either item correct and then 3 for guessing them both, Jen, you and I don't have a shot at catching up to David.
No, not so much.
Not even close. So I think next week, instead of doing this, we will wager points.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
Just to give us a fighting shot in hell. We're going to do it that way. That'll be what we do for quotes next week. Next week, we are going to read the last issue of our Gotham City Ladies. I don't know. It's not all Gotham City Sirens. We've read all three of the Sirens so far, but we're just kind of going on with the other female characters that are around Gotham. So that's Black Canary and Zatanna Blood Spell, written by Paul Dini.
I like Paul Dini.
Yeah, Paul Dini is good people. He's a good guy.
Are you bros with him on Twitter?
No. Just read interviews and stuff. I like Paul Dini. And then after that, we're going to do a listener request. After that, we're going to do a single episode. And we're going to do it. It's an introduction to talking about comics art. So we're not going to read anything the week after next. We're just going to talk about, not necessarily glossary, but talk about how we decide what we like in comic book art. Talk about the kind of terminology you use to talk about art in comics and just kind of have a general discussion about comic book art. This came because we did that episode on how to be at a convention, more or less. And that got really good listener response. And somebody was like, you guys should do more of that. So here we are. We're going to do more of that.
Speaking of conventions, if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, as we are, coming up is Wizard World San Jose, September 4, 5, and 6, I believe.
Yeah.
I'll be attending that.
Oh, good. Probably.
Nice.
Are you guys going to go? It's just
downtown. I'll be out of town. I'll be in St. Louis for a wedding.
Okay. Well, I will go to it.
Good. And then you can
drag my lovely wife.
You can do a recap for us.
Okay.
You and Lucas can do an episode.
Yeah, I'll get my son. He'll probably won't even understand what's happening. When I try to get him to talk into the microphone.
He'll understand better than your daughter.
You know what? I will get him to... We'll ask him what he thought of the convention.
Okay. Beautiful.
I'll do a small interview with him, and you can play it in the show, Andy.
Hell yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. That's all coming up in the future, though. Next week, Black Canary and Zatanna Blood Spell. More blood in Gotham. By Paul Dini. That's next week. Until then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.